Make one of those little pigs.
Hey, we'd like to begin our meeting tonight. We appreciate everyone being here, and I know a lot of you here for the recognitions, which is always a great time. First of all, do we have any public comment? Okay. All right, we'll first have our opening ceremony, and we've asked we have Colin Coombs, if he'd come forth and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We'd appreciate that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate that. We'd like to excuse Ann tonight as she is ill and not able to be here. And we'll start with our recognitions. So, Marshall and Marcy, if you would.
Marcy, if you could come on up. It's kind of the Marcy show tonight.
This is really exciting because all four people are my people tonight. Both of the district office people are special educators people, and then Riverside Preschool also. So, we will start with Chelsea Peterson. So, come on up, Chelsea. And Chelsea first came to us as a parent. She has cute little twin girls back here that were micro-preemies. Is that what they call them? They were 1 pound and both of them were 1 1. And then she left Logan and moved. And they moved on to elementary school. Anyway, and then Chelsea came back to us as a paraprofessional. And she has just been a fun asset. One of the things that was said about her in the nominations was that she's always on the ball, thinking ahead, and making things easier in the classroom. She always talks about her love for her children and her job. And she really does have a love for these kids. She also brings that kind of aspect to us that's nice to have. So we're glad to have you. I want to introduce you. Oh, sorry. Morgan Chad, and then my girls right here in Brooklyn.
Okay, Chelsea, the board would like to recognize you as Riverside School Classified Employee of the Year. Congratulations and thank you.
And on behalf of the Logan Board as well as the Logan Foundation Board, we'd like to present you with a check and a gift certificate.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very good. Way to go.
Thank you. All right, next we'll have Joy Coons come up. She's our Riverside teacher of the year. Let me introduce your family first. Okay. This is my husband Micah, my son Colin, and Jaden and Kendra. Okay. And Joy's been with us for
Six years, I think.
A while. A veteran now. Some of the things that were said on her nomination, she's a super fun teacher. She loves the kids and loves to learn because she makes it so enjoyable. She cares about how well they do and improve and does everything she can to help them. She's a dedicated teacher and puts kids first. She has an amazing connection with the children that she teaches and is able to pull great accomplishments out of these wonderful children. And she's also going back to school to get another endorsement on top of being a mom and working on all
this year. It's
hard. When I called her to tell her that she could nominate
this year,
one year to have a good time because I was really not feeling it right now.
Trust me, I did have a good time.
I'm glad you're at Riverside.
Thanks, Marcy. And really quickly, I just wanted to say that Chelsea is my support staff. And I'm actually a little bit more emotional about her than I am myself, because, I mean, really, I you have no idea, like, we couldn't do it without them. So she's just amazing and just gifted at what she did. So I'm just really glad that she got recognized, too. So thank you.
I guess this means that Colin has to start cooking more at home.
And he's not too bad. Well,
Joy, we'd like to recognize you as Riverside School Teacher of the Year.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations. Thanks. Way to go. Thank you.
All right, next we have Mary Griffin. She's our district office person, licensed person. She travels, and Wilkin is kind of her home school, and there's several of the Wilkin family here with her tonight. We won't talk about how long Mary's been in the district.
I always think it's more than a year.
Since 89.
So she was around when I did my student speech.
Yeah.
At Wilson. All right. So some of the comments from her nominations. Mary is brilliant and humorous. She knows her field like few others. I would trust my child with her. Mary goes out of her way to help out with the energy conservation program, keeping a watchful eye for me that can be turned off and offering suggestions for ways we can improve our energy program. Mary goes above and beyond in her responsibility to help teachers throughout the school in various grades at Wilson. Using her own materials and on her own time, she's repeatedly sewn pocket chairs, chair pockets for grades with chosen tables over desks. She does this year after year. She's always on the lookout to give materials and suggestions to those in need. I'm sure she does this in other schools under the radar without recognition. And that's Mary. Mary's a very passionate person about lots of different things. Glad to have you as part of our staff, Mary.
Sometimes we will share and sometimes we will. I'd like to introduce my stepdaughter Isabel Griffin, and then Wilson Isabel Jones. And some of my dear friends from Wilson, Tammy Palmer.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't. And Connie Blackett.
Yeah.
And Amy Holmer and Jen Brown.
We love you.
Yeah. Well, I'm your
neighbor.
Mary would like to recognize you as a victim. Now, there's a story behind being a victim. City Council widened the road and decided my home was no longer needed. So anyway, Mary would like to recognize you as a District Office Licensed Professional Employee of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mary. Very deserving.
Thank you. Check and a district certificate.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything you do
for
our kids.
My husband Gary and my wonderful son Cordell, wife, sweet wife Sandy, and Chad. No, Chad is here. Oh, there's Chad. Chad and Carson and Cooper. They're three sons. So my mom's here.
Oh, that's sweet. So Nadine is my right hand, and she keeps thinking maybe she's going to retire, and I keep telling her, no, you're not. If you do, you better start writing everything in your brain down now so that we can just dump
it. It would be volume.
So some of the comments from Nadine's nominations. She's the most knowledgeable, decent, and exceptional professional it has been my good fortune to work with. The amount of time and resources saved by her hard work cannot be calculated. Always at the ready, her acumen has been a lifesaver in countless situations. Nadine always has a smile on her face and a great attitude, and you can always tell when she's in the building she has a fabulous laugh. She's always positive and helpful, and she really makes things run smoothly, and that is so true. She keeps me on track and has things done for me just quick. So I appreciate you, and you still can't
Well, Nadine, we'd like to recognize you as District Office Classified Employee of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
and a check and a gift certificate. It's made out to her, though. It's not
that's
why.
We want to appreciate
it. Thank you. It's been great working with you.
Thank you.
Well, you're all welcome to stay for another 3 or 4 hours, or if you want to take the opportunity to leave, you're more than welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I know.
So needs to be excused.
So does Eric.
Thank you.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
We're great.
Good to see you.
Well, you know, I don't come that often.
Would you please?
No.
And I'm cheerful tonight, so you're
welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for being cheerful.
For the whole evening.
Yeah, I know. So it's going to be a little, you know, basic about it.
That's right. We're used to it.
Do you have, like, servants?
Well, there's no public to serve. We're not here, so...
Thanks, Joy.
I won't. Well, we'll now go into our informational time. I know that I don't see Jennifer Bishop here, and she's excused. Elsa Kina, I know, oldest, is not here. But there, and then I might as well say that I received a phone call from Eric that he's not going to be able to be here. So we'll turn it to that prestigious young man sitting out there in shorts, Lee Burningham. Would you like to come up? Well, you're younger than me, so you're a young man.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate being called a young man. That does not happen very often. I'm going to pass out some cards. But I have a couple of things I'm going to add to besides just the LEA. And we really don't have a lot to report other than the fact that we're already participating with the interest-based bargaining process with the district, the classified, and the administrators. And it's good to see that things are coming along, and it's one of those processes where we are going to sweat the small stuff, but hopefully we'll have all the small stuff sweated and out of the way that when spring rolls around, we'll be able to move ahead with the actual numbers and take care of what needs arise at that point. So it's good to see that things are moving in that direction, and we appreciate being able to sit and discuss with the other associations and the district administrators in that process. A couple of quick things. I have already given to Shannon Longhurst a $1,000 check from the Peterson Foundation that hosts the Art on the Lawn. It's a yearly donation. They wish they could give more. They're still struggling with the same issues that everybody else is, the economy and donors, all that good stuff. But that money has been...
Don't they usually come to a board meeting?
They usually do, but Lucy begs your forgiveness, your understanding. She and Carrie have just been swamped with some other family commitments, and they haven't been able to... So.
Well, tell them, thank you, and we appreciate that we missed him at board meeting.
All right. And then the cards I just passed around are to an art show. The reception is at the university. It's art teachers and select students from various art teachers in northern Utah. And you notice that Roger Rigby is on that list, the photo teacher at Logan High School. I've been telling people for years, before I ever even came to Logan High School, that Roger Rigby was the best photo teacher in the state. It has truly been an honor and a privilege to be working with him. And it's really kind of fun because we get pretty much the same group of kids, and he gets to beat up on them a little bit, you know, thinking in terms of photography, and then I get to do the same thing with three-dimensional art. And we have some amazing students that are doing some really fun stuff. And I'm going to warn you right now, no, I haven't got numbers put together yet, and I haven't even got a clue how many kids will be participating in the National K-12 Ceramics Exhibition. It's in Houston, Texas this year. And I think we're going to have some repeaters from last year. And there's another whole crop of kids that are just excited as can be to compete on a national stage. Next weekend, we have, a week from this Friday, is a gallery walk, and we will have student work on display at Oasis Books, a block over and half a block up. Compliments of another one of those things that Mary has helped put together. And
so on the 7th?
On the 7th, yes. So it'll be on the second day of parent-teacher conferences. There will also be a display of student artwork at parent-teacher conferences. You are more than welcome to come over and wander through the art department and see what's going on. We invite the parents to come down to the art department and participate with their children, with their students, in the processes that we teach, rather than just sit in the gym. And you will actually see students that will be teaching their parents how to make a pot, take care of the photo, Photoshop, all that kind of fun stuff. It's quite an experience for the parents, and very eye-opening when they realize that this is not just an activity to keep the kids busy one or two periods during the day, but there is some major processes going on and scholarship opportunities besides. And speaking of scholarship opportunities, you know, the scholarships that the students have won at the National K-12, we have the College of Eastern Utah show. Entry deadline is that same day, Friday the 7th. So there will be further discussions about how the kids from Logan High and Logan School District are doing in various competitions across the state, the region, and the nation between now and late spring. And thank you very much for your time. And again, thank you for the IBD process and negotiations. I think it's a good step. It makes it so that we're all working together to come to a solution rather than trying to divide it up and divide and conquer, as it were. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, now, the consent calendar, have you had an opportunity to look at that? And if any of you feel so inclined to approve?
I'll make a motion we approve.
Okay, it's been moved by Fred Dersch that we approve the consent calendar.
Oh, happy to second that.
Okay, and it's been seconded by Jim Blair. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. Motion carries. We'll now go into action items. We want to discuss, this will be the third reading of the board ethics policy. That seems to be echoing.
I know. I just turned it down.
All right. See if that. Okay, Marshall, I know Ann's not able to be here, and you and her have been working on that. Would you like to?
You go to page 204. We have the information item. And then right in 205 is, and 206 are the the changes. Notice that she did, the changes that we had talked about the last time are now underlined, but she then added again some questions in terms of the board standards of conduct, what we wanted to do, did we want to put anything in that section. That's on page 205.42A1. And whether or not we wanted to go past the word influence, then the other questions that she had were on page 206, whether we wanted to do a consequences process that is stated in state law.
So it would be a repetition potentially of that. None of the policies that we saw on conduct had a section. So the question was, is do we want to have one or not? And then finally on that same page, the questions on 5.2b, taking that out, whether or not that would needed to be in there or whether that was handled by the 5.2b1b. So with that, time for your discussions. You see on the next page on 207, just the reference to the penalties that are in statute. So what are your directions? What are some areas that we can potentially work on so we could go to a fourth a final reading in our December meeting?
I feel like the consequences for the violation of the policy is already stated in there, and I don't see as we need to add. It's already in what are the criminal penalty for a closed meeting violation, so I don't know how the rest of you feel.
Well, as long as you're stating what the law is,
yeah,
then you're protected, and so I think that's the important part, to make sure that we're meeting the law,
yeah,
requirements for the law.
Yeah, I don't think that we can go beyond what the law is dictating.
No,
we
can't.
And I don't think that we can, there's really anything else we could do beyond what the law is stating.
That's right.
In terms of consequence. So I don't see a need for it to be the person.
Okay. Okay, any other items on there?
So does that take out 4.3 all the way to, how does that, does it read from 4.2.8.7 and skip 4.3 at all?
No.
4.3? No.
Or just 4.3?
4.3.
Yeah. That's all.
On the 4.2.8.1 was the question whether or not you want it. It starts influence policy, wondering do we want to do more than influencing just policy or not. And remember, 4 is your policy area, or whether that's implicit in that statement. The consequences would just be the 4.3, and we would just not have
any
that
4.3 at all.
4.3, then what we probably would have is
I don't know if I feel comfortable with 4.3.b.2.
I think we would at this point take that whole section
off the
out. That's the recommendation, I think.
Yeah. Well,
or we put down just the fine violation. We would meet the need. We could write something that says we will follow state law in regards to consequences.
What are they?
Violation. It is a Class B misdemeanor.
But just for open meeting violation.
Open meeting violation is the only area.
Right. So.
The other is we do have the right for censure. It's not used.
I don't know that censure does anything because the person does not necessarily get taken off the board, but
right.
I think it does allow us the right, if the majority of the board feels like a member of the board is really out of line and needs to be told publicly that that's happening, and I don't anticipate it happening, but not to have it there seems to me to be, I'm just a little uncomfortable with that. I mean, I'm not really uncomfortable with it a little bit.
Fred, what are your...
Well, as long as we have stated the fact that that's what the law is and we're going to comply.
The law is on the open meetings only. It does not say...
That's why I like the possibility
it does not
of the board to be included there as a possibility.
That
I think that should be.
If we needed to do it, at least says that's part of our policy.
That's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it's... I
agree
guess
with that.
I don't have a problem really... Well, I guess the thing I have a problem is that maybe if it was the board president meeting with the board members in violation possible, let's see.
No, but if after that it's still not resolved.
Then you have that.
Then there is the possibility of censure.
Yeah. So what we're saying that 4.3 3.B.1 is not in conjunction with.
No.
They're two
separate issues. Mm-hmm.
You do first. If that doesn't work.
Because I think it's important to realize that the superintendent can't censure the board.
No.
No.
At all.
No.
So it has to be in complete.
Right. That's what it says by the board.
Okay.
Yeah, so the board has to do
it. So we need to reword that so it is step one, step two
type.
Yeah,
because to me, when I read it the first time, I'm like, it sounds like that the board president and the superintendent meet together and meet with the board member in violation to impose a censure.
Gotcha.
Which isn't.
No.
If they're two separate things, I can.
Basically, they're advising them to stop doing that behavior. If they continue to do that behavior, the board, majority of the board felt like that was simply needed more public information, that we would then have the possibility of doing that. So that the person on the board realizes that if I'm really not able to work with the rest of the board members, it's possible that I could be censured by the board and that would be public information.
And I guess I'm fine with that as long as it doesn't involve superintendent.
Gotcha. And that and or maybe you're looking at this point that needs to be completely I am out of it and it is the board president who's meeting with them.
I feel better about that because
Okay.
it seems like
it that you can't it's truly a board to a board.
Be, yeah.
Exactly.
Not with me.
You shouldn't be involved in that at all.
Okay.
I would hope it does never. It's never happened at least in my tenure on the board, nor anybody else here. I don't think.
Yeah.
It has never happened in the last.
And so hopefully
years.
It would never happen. But just
still,
we just know that other boards have had that experience, and it's
right.
Nice to be able to have that as a possibility if you need it.
Okay.
What is maybe it's the board president that needs the discussion, and might want to say. Board president or appointee.
Or designate. What designate?
Or designee, because the board, if it's the board president, needs to have the discussion, he's not going to have it with himself.
Well, maybe you should put and or the
vice president.
Instead of the superintendent, because I don't think that it should be, if you're going to censure another board member, I don't think it should come from anybody else but another board member.
Gotcha.
I think it should be a designation of the district. I don't think it should be a
I meant a board designee.
Oh.
Yeah, you could designate someone else
attorney?
On the board.
Could do that.
Good.
Designee is better because it may not be the vice president.
Designee would allow you.
But in order to have that designee, that direction has to come
from the board.
But if the board, but the question of the five members, if it happens to be the board president, the other members of the board need to be able to act, and their next line of authority is the board vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a bad idea to for the board to be able to designate an attorney, the district's attorney, to visit with them.
I think any time you're in this situation, you'd have the majority of the board. Again, you're looking at the fact that this would be a majority of the board with a concern bringing it up or potentially bringing it up.
They mention after consulting with the attorney or something in the policy or just
I think that has to be on the discretion of the you as a board. I don't want to tie hands either way. Practice would say. It would be all obviously good to make sure that there is consultation with. But see, to be able to make that consultation, playing this out, board president, the four other members are concerned about that. They would go to the vice president. The vice president would probably be looking for the phone number from me, but then that conversation would happen with the attorney on behalf of the other members of the board. Worst case, it would be, you know, if that does not occur, but there's a board member who is wanting to, I don't want them to be in a position where they're going directly unless they know that they have a majority of the board. And that gets more sticky.
Well, the thing is, too, you've just got, you know, it's under the board president. What if it's the board president?
That's what we're talking about.
That's why I think
it could be that the board president and vice president happen to be the ones in the minority, and the other three are saying we've got a concern. What's their route of being able to do this? And do they have a right to make a contact with the board's attorney?
I think any contact with the legal counsel, my suggestion would be that that needs to come through you or me somehow. Because I don't think it's good practice for board to have free license to just go to the district attorney.
Again, we're trying to do something on something we hope that will never happen, but we know what has happened in this state within the last 3 years, 4 years, and it was a very difficult situation and one that did not have, that really is the precedence of which we're, all boards have been asked to kind of look at that area.
Yeah.
I have heard of other situations where there's a lot of contention on the board, and it does come down to, you know, there are factions on boards, and I don't ever want to get to that point and within my career and hopefully within your career, but we've got to make sure that policy is there so that in case something happens, we can go back to policy.
Well, you've got the 4.3.B, which says, other consequences for violation of this policy include...
But are not limited to.
So, I don't know, we want to spell out everything.
That's probably...
And so by having that there, you've got some freedom. But then to talk about possible censure by the board is another step. So I don't know that we want to define too much. Otherwise,
okay, we
lock yourself into a process that we're not really wanting to do. I prefer leaving it the way it described
okay.
it.
Taking my part out in terms of that, the board president
and or
vice president.
Mm-hmm. It covers it, really.
Okay.
And just strike out 4.3.
Well, what it would be,
totally.
Well, it actually, that becomes the heading for that area. Does that make sense? She just put the red in and just talking about it because she had not had a chance. She was just giving you some dialogue. None of that would have been in there. So it would say consequences for violation of the policy. Then we would say violation is a Class B misdemeanor, 3B, other consequences include but not limited to, and then a clarification in that so that it's very clear that these are steps, step one, step two.
The red is Ann's suggestions.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not wording that would go into the policy itself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I personally feel good about that.
Okay. We'll see how that reads, and I'll do some work with Ann on making sure the clarification that B1 and B.2 are clearly, you have to do this and then potential from there. On the other. How about any of the other changes? The between board members and district employees is 5.2.B was the, she's got a couple of different options there.
I thought we had intense discussion about 5.2.A.3, the no surprises comment. Semicolon, no surprises. I thought we changed it to say something to ensure no surprises or to...
Where are you?
We took out the semicolon.
5.2.5.3.
That actually goes back to like a two drafts ago.
Yeah.
I thought that change was made for the last time.
I did too. I don't think we had no surprises in there.
I think, okay, I'll double check.
I thought it was to allow or to
I think
verify
there was,
no surprises or to ensure no surprises or...
Yeah.
I thought we had...
It was different. No surprises was not at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to strike that altogether.
There was a way, they had some other language, and I thought we had it in the last draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back with her and check on that. It's like she went, sometimes with these drafts, we start out with the wrong one. Is the part on 5.2.B, 1A and B? 5.2.B.1, the between board members and district employees. We had some discussion the last time. It says communicate with district employees to receive input on items under consideration by the board and advocate for policies and programs adopted by the board.
So does that to me that infers that the only time I can talk to district employees if I'm talking to them about something we're considering?
That's a point. Let's see if there's a second one. But the second part is what you communicate any serious concerns, but that's only with me, with myself. It does not bring into play just general concerns. So we need some writing on that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Maybe district employees would only like to talk to us when we're talking about things we're considering.
Right. Well,
I hope not,
we'll try to do it in a way that is giving a clear safety net for you as board members, as well as a clear understanding from employees, so that as they're making comments, they're not putting you in a corner.
Other concerns?
No.
Fred?
I don't have any other concerns.
Jim?
I would like to have a little more time to read it.
Okay. If and you can get...
I can make them to Anna to you if I've got anything.
If you can get those to us by next Tuesday, the 4th.
Okay.
Because we have to have everything set on the 5th for the
our
board meeting
see,
on the 11th.
She's got some things in red here I've not thought about very much, and so
that's
she right. Asked me to read it, and I haven't read it, so I feel badly about that. I would just like that privilege, if it's okay, before
okay.
The 4th.
Okay.
Now, in terms of an action, if this is under action, you can do one of two things. You can either approve with changes, pending changes made at this reading, or you can postpone the, I believe this is the third reading,
mm-hmm.
to the 11th. You can do it one of either way for a final vote. Either way will be, it still will go to the 11th. It just depends on how you're most.
I don't really feel comfortable approving it right this minute.
Okay.
Are you willing to make a motion then?
I will make a motion that we postpone approving the board ethics policy until our next board meeting.
So the third reading will be at the December 11th board meeting.
Well,
fourth? Because
okay.
We're not approving a third, we're postponing that. Right. I would encourage, in addition to that, would be that a final decision will be made on the 11th,
okay.
Which puts us in able to have this in place for our USBA requirements.
Okay.
If we could get it as soon as we can, so that we
yes.
Could. Okay.
Yes.
Christy has made a motion that we postpone the action on this until the 11th. Do I have a second?
I'll second
for the third reading.
For the third reading. Okay. It's been seconded by Jim Blair. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we'll now go to action on the school calendar. This is a tentative school calendar, Marshall.
Starting on page 208 and the pages that are after that, we've got, again, the process that we go through is last year you approved a tentative 13-14 calendar. We would approve a final one on that and then approve a tentative 14-15. It's hard to believe we're up to that level already. It was a great opportunity again. Accolades to Stacy for facilitating that and getting it ready in terms of we've had more information out. We've been able to get so that all staff has had an opportunity to look at and have input. We had good participation from parents. We had good participation from staff on changes. We will never make everybody happy.
I'm happy.
It makes it challenging because there's some that have some very passionate processes. We tried to keep with the tenets that we've built over time in terms of things we want to protect. It does have in it a 2 full weeks at Christmas time. That goes back and forth. There's some that are saying, oh, it's just too long. Others are saying, without it, please understand we wouldn't be there. And it has seemed to be more successful when we have the 2 weeks that we have less absenteeism on either end. Again, this year we're able to do that because of the provision of using 2 days for teacher training that we had in August for January 3rd and 4th. So that's why this year we have it with the way Christmas and New Year's is our next year. It just works into it that we would have those 2 full weeks off. The other tenet is that we looked at is the full week in the spring. Again, there's some that are saying it's too much time out. Others are saying this is allowing me to do some things that I've not had opportunities. And because it's kind of set, we can plan on it. And we wouldn't be there anyway. And that's both on staff as well as parents. As we're looking at our assessment time frame, its placement, because we're actually starting in March this year for the proposed calendar coming in up. That's a little earlier than what we had anticipated, but they've also moved up the assessment window. And we wanted to have students back a full week before that window started, because with the testing that we're doing now online, we need every single day. And schools are starting on that. So this allows for a week, then a week full of back to review, and then beginning of our assessment period. We did have Cache County School District representation there too, so they were kind of watching what we were doing, and they're going to try to mimic as best as they can our calendar. The one change that still may occur from this calendar is we do not know if the state school board will allow for the in-service training, the staff development on Utah Common Core again, like we had this last 2 years. If they do allow it, our proposal would be instead of starting on Tuesday, we would start on the Thursday, the 20, I believe it's the 20, what is it, the 25th? What is the next? We'll have to look at the calendar.
Be the 22nd.
Right.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Right now, we're starting on the 20th. We'd start on the 22nd and have those 2 days for. We found that the time up front was more beneficial. It minimized the number of half days, minimum days we had during the year. You don't see on here parent-teacher conferences. That will be the next step going to the schools to develop those parent-teacher conference dates. Any questions on either of the calendars?
The only thing I wanted we talked about this earlier today, is just to make sure that they start 6th grade and 9th grade on the same day.
Please, we need to have that in the minutes. And encouragement with a requirement or expectation of the high school and middle school, but they're starting, there'll be 6th and 9th grade.
The first day, as or that, whatever they decide.
Right. However, but they need to be, the middle school and high school have to develop their schedule so that those two are going back to school the same day.
Yeah.
It just helps for clarity's sake for the parents.
Okay, any other discussion?
That's great.
I'll accept a motion to accept a tentative calendar for the 13th and 14th and the 14th and the 15th.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved by Christy that we accept the tentative calendar of 2013 and 2014 calendar and 2014-2015 school year. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been approved by Fred, seconded by Fred. Those in favor say aye.
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 So Kevin approves it.
Yeah. Motion carries. Okay, we now have Marshall, if you'd talk to us about the administrators. negotiation.
You know, on behalf of Eric, and he apologizes for not being here. It was a family situation he couldn't get out of, and none of the other members of the presidency were here. They apologize. The association apologizes for the length of time. Part of it was just getting school started. They put this kind of on the back burner. We've been having these discussions and dialogues since August. It just did not get finalized. In front of you is the financial package, their portion of the money that was determined from the IBB process last year was a little over $8,000. They made a determination that that would go to the five administrators in a step. That's ongoing funding. By state law now, 15% of their any new monies given to them must go into performance pay process. Because the state has not defined what performance is in terms of that, and we're not in that position yet, for this year we determined that those administrators who are going through the full administrative pilot that we're going through would receive some funding. That amount is going to be less than $100 for the year. So you can see performance pay is not at a point of being where it needs to be. But it will be, that was about $1,400 that will be distributed among 16 individuals. So that's the financial part. They will be consistent with the health benefit process that had been done for the other two groups. We did do two areas of language changes, which we've had copies to you on. They are to make the consistent with what was done for the and the teachers and the classified. Those sections are Section 7 and Section 9. Section 7, or Article 7, is in regards to the leave and leave without pay, which was the time frame at what you approved for on the teachers and classified. And then 9 is the process because of the changes in order of termination law, making the processes so that they're consistent with the new state law, Senate Bill 64. So that is what is in front of you. We will have an ongoing one of the memorandums of understanding, as you can see there, was to also work on our making sure the book is in line with both the other two associations and any changes that have happened in the law. We've not done a thorough look at that for the last couple of years, so we need to get that in line, and we'll be proposing to work on that this coming year for approval and ratification. Administrators have ratified this, and it is now in your court.
Do you have any discussion? Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept
the negotiated
agreement.
Of the administrators.
Of the administrators.
Okay.
That too.
All right. Okay. We have a motion by Jim Blair to accept the negotiated agreement with the administrators.
Christy.
Okay. Christy has seconded it. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries.
And would you please tell them next year we want it done quicker?
We actually had that discussion in our IBB training on Monday, our meeting, and our timeline is such that we're working on joint, all three groups, we're working on reduction in force language, and we're working on the potential of a sick leave bank process that would be overall. That's kind of the major. Then each of the individual groups are working on, we're setting up a timeline for working on other language things that need to be accomplished that are for just the individual group. We're planning on getting that all done by our March time frame so that we can really focus in between March and May on our financial and have to you before school is out a package for ratification. And so everyone wants it done before school is out.
Okay. Great.
I'm sorry, I did have one question I forgot to ask earlier, Marshall. Is this part about in Section 9, does that mirror the
teachers?
Is it the administrator evaluation warning? So, like, the unsatisfactory performance, is that the same as the
that is by state
administrator
law.
pilot?
Yes.
Okay, the pilot cannot be used for it. We're doing it. We're doing the pilot and our regular evaluation process until such time that it's being approved. So
does this mirror that? Does that
yes.
mirror the same the pilot
yes.
footage? That's what it's
yes.
Okay.
It does.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, we'll now go into a discussion on the Utah Consolidated Application. Marshall?
Better known as the YUCCA, UCA, and it truly is. This is a process that has been put in place. This is, I believe, the fourth year that we have brought this to you, third year we have brought this to you. It is a good process in many ways, but for a small school district, it is a humongous task because there's just not as many people whose hands can get into it and work on it. I need to give accolades to Robin Williams, whose majority of this is coming from her and her department. David Long had to provide a lot of the technical portions on this, and we really appreciate that. I appreciate all the help that we had from Zane in getting all the financial end of it done. What we have been able to print off, which was not as much as we had hoped, we wanted to give you a full flavor, but we did give you the plan overview and all the different areas that the goals that we have. There are four goals. We have made the changes of the goals. Again, our philosophy has been that the foundation of what we do at the district level needs to be supporting the schools. Schools have school improvement plans, and we want to make sure that this is focused on the school improvement plans that have been directed. They have been worked on with community councils, with staff, and that's what our support is. So our goals are mirroring what is happening at the school level. We did not have a whole massive process outside of it so that we would have a set of goals that were not congruent with what's happening at the building level. We have a language arts and literacy goal, a numeracy goal, and a goal for our ESL students. You will see that there is a fourth goal this year. They have added adult education as part of the UCA, which was not there before, and we were required for that to have its own separate goal. Even though they said they want it streamlined, that's outside of our K-12 focus. The rest of this is on K-12. It was out of our control, so that's why you have that as an additional goal this year, is the fourth goal. Within that, the funding we have given to you, the numerous pages on funding and what our the sub-goals are, and then we have given you on page, get to it, on page 249 is our needs assessment. We've done a review of our assessment data and where we are low. This reflects that. There were changes made in this from last year, though some of it is still the same language. Then we get into a process. You're going through each of the different programs. It starts out with the IDEA, what the money is, what we have, that gives you kind of the allocations and then where that funding is budgeted. So that's kind of the process as you go through the different funding sources, and then it goes into state funds, early childhood programs that we have. We have two that are underneath that, the reading achievement, which is your K-3 funding, and early intervention, which is your what was at one time your optional extended day kindergarten.
How come nothing changes in between there, Marshall? You got the initial original amount and the total, but then you go down through all the areas. How does that break broken down? I guess I don't really understand.
This is the budget allocations and where we're projecting to. Your detail on the budget process really comes through the fiscal information that Zane gives you to you on a monthly basis. We have to, in many of these budgets, once we have the budget in, we have to spend the money, then we are requesting from USOE for reimbursement of. And they watch us pretty closely. Zane is on this. We are constantly making changes all the way through, even to the last budget change in June. We actually started making changes. We went back to 2010-11 this past week on some changes that they still had from 2 years ago.
I just saw a little zeros there in between.
The zeros are meaning we're not putting money into there. Some of it is expectation of the budget.
If we didn't spend all this money next year, then you'd maybe see some monies coming in as carryover.
Right.
But special ed.
These programs we zero in.
We're spending it all
year. So generally speaking, it's all used up.
Yeah.
All right.
We have not put in the incoming carryover, outgoing, or reallocated. We've only done on the allocations. That's what they have in there. We have not gone above and beyond their allocations because that's what's required under the law.
Is this Utah law or federal law?
This is Utah.
Oh,
this is Utah's way of trying to make sure we to try to minimize the amount of paperwork we have into one area. What I couldn't get printed for you, and I wish I had, were the 15, 18 pages of assurances in six font. I mean, this number six font that we have to go through with every single program that we're saying that we are doing that.
8 pages we would have loved not to read.
When
so
we first started out with this, it mainly had to do with federal dollars, and they've loved it so much.
They've now made it
expanded it. So some of these things, like the enhancement for students at risk, and
that's state funds,
reading achievement money, those monies are actually flowing to us on a 1-12 basis every month. But like the Title I, Title II, Title III, IDEA money, McKinney-Vento 21st Century, those things we have to spend to get
that's
reimbursed.
On the listing of all of those, on the budgets, it lists all of the budgets down.
Plan overview page is the very first.
Plan overview. Okay. On that first. If you do go to page, let me see, page.
Oh, I see.
If you can get to page 265, just as an interesting, this is a Title I. Remember, in each one, we have to look for an eligibility process depending on their income. This shows you what the current level of free and reduced lunch is in each of our schools. You see that Bridger's at 76%, Adams is at 75%, Ellis is at 74%, Woodruff is at 65%, Hillcrest is at 50%, Wilson is at 44%. Mount Logan's at 55%, Logan High is at 43%. District-wide, we're at 56%. That's gone up almost 6%. Percentage points since I've been here in 2006. The reality is that for the county, just to put things in perspective, Lincoln Elementary School is their lowest and they're at 50%. We only have one school in our district that is lower than the lowest school in the county. That's the differences that we're dealing with in Logan City versus Cache County School District. Their socioeconomic status. They're high.
Which is lower than our lowest.
Yes. Anyway, they only have one school that beats ours, if you want to look at that. Requirement is that it's 75% that we have the opportunity of. We have some requirements from the federal government if they're 75% or more in terms of our services, which adds to our paperwork accountability process as well. If you, though, look at their scores, what those schools are doing, comparatively speaking to others, it is amazingly, you strip everything away, you would not realize that the school is having that type of low socioeconomic challenges and getting the scores that they are.
Okay.
So what does the state do when they get this report?
This becomes our blueprint that it has to be approved by them. It goes through
the state office.
State office. I will then tomorrow morning get this ready to send it down electronically. Last year, if we had a few areas that they asked for clarification on, it took us until about the middle of December. But at that point, then they watch us on the funding, and we are constantly in it with funding processes.
One line item in that budget by more than 10%, it requires a budget change.
Right.
And they have to go in and justify it.
It becomes a budgetary process from this point on, for the most part.
Do you have any more discussion?
I need a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved by Christy that we approve the Utah Consolidated Application Plan. Do we have a second? Seconded by Fred Dersch. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, we'll now have reports from board members. Fred?
I don't have too much to report. It's kind of interesting. I have a grandson that made the freshman team at Logan High School. It's kind of,
wow.
So I'm going to be watching a few
basketball games.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Good. Jim?
I'm looking at my calendar to see if I did anything. We had a Peter Thorne Governing Board meeting, I think, since last we reported. And I wish we had their budget. They have a very nice budget. They have really a double budget. They get a budget from the university, and they get a budget from the state. So they can do pretty much what they want to do. It would be very nice to have that money. I enjoyed the legislative luncheon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Seemed a tad early to me. 8 o'clock seemed a little early for me for breakfast, but I managed somehow to eat it. Mm-hmm. And I thought the presentation by the legislators were certainly sensitive to our district and to the Cache district, and were trying to do things that would be focused, at least for our consumption, focused on what we would like to accomplish. So I thought that was good.
We are very fortunate to have the representation we do up in this valley. Mm-hmm.
And sound, I was pleased to have questions go to you and to Zane more than they talked to Cash about what's the real truth here. So yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Zane knows that better. I'm always impressed at Lyle Hilliard how he can spew all that information without hesitating. I mean, it just keeps on going and going and going.
He's very knowledgeable.
I'm amazed how he can present all that information. He has it right there in his head, right?
He's a lawyer.
All right.
That's why you pay him the big bucks.
Anyway, I thought that was impressive with what he did.
Okay. Christy.
Happy to report that my temporary part-time job's over, so now I can get back to my board business. Went to this volleyball banquet with Kira. They did amazing. Was fun to be there with the girls, and we have a group of girls that really do have some talent in volleyball, and it's been fun to watch that program. Went to the PTA legislative luncheon where we kind of heard a little bit more from Lyle there, and I felt badly that one of the questions was, why did the legislature hate the PTA? And I can see how that question could come about, because I have kind of seen the dynamics between the legislature and the PTA, and I can see that that's a valid concern of theirs. But, of course, they, you know, indicated that they didn't hate the PTA, but I would
hope
that...
I think our group has been very pro-PTA.
Yes.
We're fortunate.
We are fortunate, and I hope that maybe just by asking that question to them, it will make them a little bit more aware that that's how PTA feels. So hopefully they'll be, you know, more aware of that in the future. But that was fun to be there. I was grateful. And then I have the legislative committee is in full swing, and I've missed the last couple of meetings, but look forward to getting involved in that over the next 2 months as we gear up for our legislative session. Of course, the breakfast was fantastic. I think it's great. I thought that was fun to be able to come. And I was impressed with our representation. Pretty much everyone came.
We have found early morning for them is easier for their schedule.
Yeah, because I didn't see...
We had more than we've ever had in the last 6 years.
I didn't see Cash had only one board member.
And Bart was the only one that was there the last time as well.
So I thought that was interesting that we missed, you know, a bulk of their board members, but it was fun to be able to
And I appreciate the fact that our board was there, as well as Connie. Thank you.
Yeah, we were all there, so that was impressive to me that they were there. And hopefully those relationships have... I've seen them... It appears to me that they've developed over the last couple of years, at least since I've been on the board, that we've kind of improved our relationship with them. And
I hope that it will continue. I really think that they're mindful of our needs up here, and it kind of makes me understand their situation more, and hopefully they'll understand our situation more. So that was fun. And USBA, I have a USBA meeting this Friday. They are collecting children's books to give to the homeless shelter. So if you have any children's books that you would like to donate to that cause, I'd be happy to take them down there on Friday. We had a request last year to kind of mix up our donations to different organizations, and I thought children's books to the homeless shelter is a fantastic idea. So if you have any that you'd like to donate, just let me know. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, I too attended both of the legislative luncheon and the breakfast and felt just as you did. I did have a meeting with Fast Forward Charter School. Mainly the things that we went over was their budgeting, seeing where they were and everything. They had to make a few adjustments and stuff, and that was the main issues that we really dealt with. It was a very, very short meeting. The other thing is, as I've been attending that, been on that committee, the communication committee with over at the high school on Wednesday mornings, and I told them that I'd just continue to go to that. They first talked about, we had mentioned about shifting around a different one attending, but I visited with Marshall and felt like it's more appropriate so they don't have to keep referring back to what they've done to bring us up to date, that I just continue to go to that. And I'm really impressed with that. It's,
what, is it every Wednesday?
No, it's about every other Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think it's every sometimes every third. It just depends. But I'm impressed with, I just really am impressed with the involvement, the willingness to look and talk about communication and stuff from all aspects, and I'm just really impressed with them. It's a good group. I'd say there's, there must be 19, 20, something like that. There's quite a few.
Response to school teams.
Yeah. It's just very good.
If you don't mind, I think I'll try to come, since if there's not going to be another board member that goes with you, because we can both go occasionally. I would like to at least see... I was invited to that and then couldn't go.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to go.
And other than that, that's all I have. Sane.
We're progressing, mainly focusing on our new fiscal system. A trainer here spent 4 days after we ran our October 25th payroll. And got that balanced within 15 cents, and he was happy with that. And I was informed today that they finished scrubbing the data so they can run a parallel on the 15th of November payroll, which is the hourly payroll that we do. And so we hope to do it for that, and then they're going to do that tomorrow. And hopefully we'll be good to go for January, so... I think everything's set for the auditors to come and do their report next time we meet. And so I feel good about things.
Okay. Thank you, Marshall.
Just a quick update on the administrator's evaluation pilot. We're in the middle of that. They have finished up, they're finishing up their self-assessments and then going into goal setting. They've broken the chunks. This would have been better had we had training in September, not the end of October, because they want us to start November 1st and do November and December and then do another process in January, February. We'll be muddying up that a little bit because we just hadn't had the time. We didn't get the training until the last part of October. They didn't have some of the software available until the week before Thanksgiving. So we now are up and running as electronic, and again, our focus is to try to make it so that it is focused on growth, professional growth, and not just hoops and trying to do checkoffs. It's been a good process so far. I don't know how large districts are doing it right now because it is extremely time intensive. I'm glad we did not do the teacher evaluation process, and talking to districts that have done that, it has been very, very overwhelming because of the nature of the observation tool. Administrator one is a little more concise. We'll continue on this process through the spring, when we'll then have the state coming in and then kind of looking at how we've done it, seeing whether or not there was a consistency process on my part in terms of all 16, the two high school, administrators and the and middle school principals, and what they've done with their assistants to see whether or not there's a level for the reliability portion of it, of their study, and then also doing reviews on what changes could be made potentially for the future. We will run it this year. We will run it again next year. It will then be in full force for the 14-15 school year. So
have
far,
I missed committee meetings for that?
The evaluation, the district evaluation committee, we will be having a meeting in January. We've been kind of holding off, thinking that there was going to be more from the state committee side for us to start looking at. It's not there yet, but there are some things that we can bring people up to speed on. I'm going to try to get out an email with at least this is kind of the status of things right now, because we've been on hold waiting for the state to determine exactly what direction they were going. So we weren't just doing something and finding out that we had to reverse and go a different direction. I did not want to waste people's time. But that's going to be ramping up as we get more things starting in January. Logan High School will be here on the 11th to talk to you about the processes they're looking into for Tier 2, Tier 3 assistance, working with kids for not only for remediation but also for extensions, accelerations, and what that will mean in terms of potentially a schedule for next year. They've been working now for the last how many weeks? Probably 7 weeks, 7-8 weeks, and they've been meeting weekly. There's been a group, core group from each of the departments that have been meeting to formulate the process, and they've been fairly extensive in what they've had and trying to get that information out. Stacy, if you can remind me, there is a blog address so you can go through and see what the minutes have been from that from the last few weeks, so you can kind of, as we get up to the 11th, you'll have a better understanding of what that dialogue will be as they come to you. We will get you here within the next couple of days, the activities that we know of for December, so that you will be able to go to those if you'd like to. If you didn't make the play, you missed an amazing opportunity. That was phenomenal. The voices, the dancing, and the orchestration, and I mean, there wasn't a part of that was not just like, wow. I mean, they just outdid themselves again this year. They keep doing that. And there'll be more orchestra, there'll be band concerts, choir concerts, and that going on. And we'll get that information to you.
Okay. Okay, with that, we'll
adjourn. Is there a calendar that we need to be aware of quickly besides the normal board meeting on the 11th?
Right, that's what I need to get to you in the next couple of days. We've not received everything from the schools yet on when things are.
I mean, but besides just our normal board meetings.
Right.
Anything, and our Christmas party's on the
18th. Mm-hmm. Yes.
6 o'clock?
Yes.
They're doing the
government, paprika chicken.
Finance presentation for legislators at USBA on Thursday.
And Ed is going for the new, Ed is going down to that.
I've got meetings all day down there Thursday, so I thought I'd go to that too.
And then Connie and I will be attending the new board member USBA training on Saturday down in Provo. So I need to, before you leave, I need to give you specifics.
Okay, with that, we'll adjourn at 7:14.
Now they don't have to buy new treats.
I'm getting out early. Ready.